Welcome to the I Love Recruiting Podcast with your host, Adam Roach.
Welcome back, everybody, to the I Love Recruiting Podcast with your host, Adam Roach here. Everybody, I have a friend, a near and dear friend on the show today. This is someone that I've known for nearly a decade, someone that we've grown up together in the business world. We've grown up together sharing ideas, thoughts, emotions, feelings together. We've even worked together. This is a man that actually needs no introduction in Charlotte, North Carolina. He owns 9 martial arts schools. And let me share something with you about this man before he comes on here. If you had like a beer can or something on the top of your head, this guy could kick it off without even touching a hair of off of your head. Everybody, welcome Sam Wiegert to the show. Sam, welcome, my friend.
Thanks so much. What an introduction. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. It's an honor to be on.
Absolutely. You know, this is really fun for me because, again, we go way back into the Go Bundance days. In 2014, I believe, was the first event we attended together. Robert Kiyosaki popped his head in there, and there we were, just young pups, right?
Yeah. That was an amazing event, actually.
It really was.
It had a huge impact on me, and getting to meet Kiyosaki, just such a hero from a young age. That was cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for all of our listeners out there, I Love Recruiting. I'm about to recruit you real quick. You need to go buy his books, right? You need to go buy any and all of Robert Kiyosaki's books. Sam, we have an I Love Recruiting podcast equation, and that equation goes like this. Recruiting equals influence equals leadership. And you can take that equation and you can actually inverse it as well. And you can go leadership equals influence equals recruiting. So with that being said, walk us through who Sam Wiegert is. Catch us up. Catch us up to date, my friend.
Yeah, man. Well, again, thanks for being on. I ditto all of those thoughts. Consider you a near and dear friend as well. And have just been, have enjoyed all of our crazy sessions where we've planned out and whiteboarded out future businesses. And I feel like you've been a huge influencer on my thoughts. So I just want to shoot that back right back at you. You're a badass as well. And it's an honor to be associated with other badasses. So keep up all your great work and serving the world. And I'm excited for this new venture. I Love Recruiting. Yeah. I know it's your superpower. So I know you've put more words to it, but I know it's something you've actually been doing for a long, long time. Who is Sam Wiegert? I mean, I'm a martial artist at heart. I was influenced largely in my business and personal space by Tony Robbins. So I just, you know, he was such an influence on me when I was 14, 15, 16, 17. He became like a second dad to me, kind of from a distance and afar. And anybody who knows Robbins knows that, you know, he wants to give back. He's big on community. He's big on service. But he's also big on just being the best version of yourself. And so I feel like that's always been something I've strived to be, is just 100% the best version that I can possibly be. And so that's in business. That's in my relationships. That's in how well I can kick stuff off your head. That's in, you know, whatever it is. Like that's what I want to be. It's just that's living life. Spirituality. I mean, I feel like recently you and I have had a lot of talks about kind of going deeper into our psyche and going deeper into questioning our thoughts and kind of the spiritual side of who we are as well. So. And you and I have run the gamut of conversations. We've talked about sex and relationships. And, and the next day we're talking about questioning our thoughts in terms of how that supports our spiritual journey. So,
yeah. Right, exactly. So here's, I love that you said that, be the best version of yourself, right?
Yeah, man.
I want to go back. This is probably now 2 years ago when you and I were doing an appreciative inquiry there in your dining room. We had... I want to paint the vision for everybody. We had white sheets of paper all over the walls. We had probably hundreds and hundreds of sticky notes all over the place. 100%. And you came up with the vision statement for your company. Yeah. I get goosebumps even just thinking about it.
Yeah.
That was a powerful moment. Share with everybody what you came up with and how now that has impacted your world.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this first. It's always, that was an amazing 2 days, wasn't it? 2 days. I think it was two solid days. Yeah. Shameless plug for a 2 day workshop with Adam Roach, because it was really impactful on my business and on me personally. And I've always been obsessed. You know, I think a lot of times when people think of martial arts or becoming a black belt, you know, they think of the guy with the battle axe over there, you know, or this real traditional guy or in a dungeon dojo, or maybe the monk on top of a mountain in Japan somewhere. I mean, those are right, the images sometimes we conjure up. But I feel like part of my mission in life and what I'm trying to do with Up Level Martial Arts, which is my company, is just change the perception that a black belt is anybody in life who's showing up in a really powerful way. And Adam, like you say a lot, in a really authentic way, in a really vulnerable way, anybody who's showing up to try their best to be a leader is a black belt in whatever sphere, you know, of influence they have. And so a black belt is just someone dedicated to excellence. And if you're freaking even listening to this podcast, you are probably that type of a person pursuing some level. There's something in you that knows there's more to your business and more to your life and more to your relationships. And so kudos to you guys for listening, because you're pursuing something, and that's great. And that is being a black belt. So the statement that we came up with was live like a black belt.
Yeah.
And just how that is so cross industry. You know, I can look at you who are not a martial artist, Adam, and be like, yo, are you living like a black belt? Are you stepping up like a black belt? Being a black belt isn't so much about being kicks and punches. That's a bonus, you know, being able to defend yourself is a bonus. Having that level of confidence is a bonus, but it's really about just life, man.
That's what we came up with.
And it was powerful. It was beautiful. Just the way it kind of like, we were trying to come up with something simple and clear and short and concise and direct. And it was like, live like a black belt.
Yep, absolutely. So here's a funny story about that. So we're in the dining room. I want to paint this again, paint this image. We're in the dining room. We've got white sheets all over us. There's sticky notes everywhere. And you came up with that live like a black belt. And then your wife comes in and she serves us some snacks. And I can't remember if the snacks were fantastic or amazing. I'm sure they were amazing. And you said, Rachel, are those snacks living like a black belt?
My wife regularly lives like a black belt when it comes to service, just serving others. She's a huge supporter of people. And so she is a black belt in service, right? You're a black belt in recruiting, Adam. I'm a black belt in martial arts, and I'm working on my black belt in business.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm working on my black belt in coronavirus overcoming, exactly. Overcoming coronavirus in my business. But
So let's talk about the black belt in business real quick. Let's transition there. So before we go to your schools, let's go to your real estate world. I'd love to share with the audience, because we have a lot of real estate listeners. We have a lot of so the I Love Recruiting podcast, the vision there, which you're aware of, is our I Love Recruiting company. Our vision is to recruit 100 million people. And that's to anything, and whether that's into the real estate world, whether that's into the financial world, whether it's into a better husband world, a better wife, whatever it may be, right? It's the next iteration of yourself. We will recruit you to that. So
let's go to
the real estate space of what you've accomplished over the last 5 to 10 years, man, because you have absolutely crushed that space.
Yeah, I feel like for me, I'm always looking at where I could go. And so sometimes that never makes me feel like I'm crushing anything. So there's a balance there for sure, if I'm honest. But
hold on, I'm going to pause that thought for a second, because
Adam Roach, the coach, coming out right now. I can feel it. Adam Roach, the coach, is coming out.
Sam will never step up and say, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I crushed that. Right. Cause he's always striving. I want to share another quick story. So Sam calls me one day. And I don't remember what I was doing. He's like, hey, listen, can I steal 15, 20 minutes of your time? I was like, sure. And so we get on the phone together. He's like, I think I'm going to buy a property on the auction site. Long story short, there was like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes left. And the property.
No. It was actually, we were on a regularly scheduled call. And I interrupted the call. We were on our normal like weekly pod call, you know, that we are part of in GoBundance. And I'm halfway through it, I was like, yo, in 5 minutes, this auction ends. Would you mind me sharing my screen? Can I just like take my part of this call that you were, you know, and share the screen and you coach me through this this auction? Anyway, I didn't mean to hijack the story, but we were on a call and I just interrupted it to get your help on it.
The point of the story is he bought a, was a $600,000 house on an auction online. My point is he's a badass, everybody. So don't let him discount that. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Keep going. This is kind of fun.
Sure. Yeah. So the real estate space, I want to bring this full circle because you and I talked about Robert Kiyosaki just a few minutes ago. So Robert Kiyosaki is definitely like a huge, you know, yeah, if you haven't read all of his books, like you got to read his books. Like he's kind of the father, I feel like, of coining some of these terms, like, you know, passive income. I feel like he just taught so many people about passive income and building a business and not having a job, a job, you know? And so I was in that conference and I went up to Robert Kiyosaki and I said, Robert Kiyosaki, I want to take houses and furnish them and then rent out the individual rooms in the house. And then, you know, yeah, like, is that a good idea? Like it's, you know, and he says, yeah, that's a great idea. And actually he goes, I think that's the wave of the future. And he goes, I even know people who are taking houses and they're adding additional bedrooms. They're adding additional bathrooms. They're taking the living room and making a bedroom out of that. And he goes, I believe that's the wave of the future. And so I never forget that vote of confidence from Robert Kiyosaki, like directly to me. So I kind of doubled down on that. And we probably have 53 doors, you know, amongst these houses that I have now. But yeah, it's nice. It's probably every month, it's probably a good 27,000 in passive income, right? Like gross, but, that's nice. And it's all from just, yeah, buying these houses. And then we kind of like, we'll add a bathroom, we'll add a bedroom, we'll add a couple bedrooms and we rent out the rooms and it's, there's a certain niche market for it. But we believe, you know, I keep telling my wife, you know, hey, I think we'll do really well in our, we did well even when the economy was good, but I think in a recession times, I think we're going to do even better because I think people are going to be looking for, you know, maybe cheaper places to live. They're going to be considering a roommate type space, but it's real beautiful the way we do it. And we build a community around it. They've got all their common space. And then we rent out these individual rooms. It's a ton of maintenance, but we've done a really good job of building the systems around that. We've got in-house management. A lot of normal property manager companies won't even touch these properties. So I am really proud of what we've done in that space. You know, I'm 29 years old, and I feel like I've done good work in that. You know, there's a lot of people who are like totally crushing the real estate space, and I want to get into bigger deals and doing bigger things. But I like, we call it life door rentals. And here's the truth. That's how I lived. Like I lived in these properties for many years. So I would buy one, I would fill it with roommates, and then I'd go buy another one and I'd go move into that one. And I always loved it. I met some of the coolest people. I mean, I officiated one of my roommates' weddings. So it was really a personal kind of passion thing. Like I got to know all these people. I got to live with people from Mexico. I got to live with people from all over the world in these little mini communities that we would set up in these houses. And it was badass, dude. It was so fun. So I'm a big fan of it. And now we like, that's kind of what we pitch. We pitch like, hey, be a part of a community. Like, you know, you don't have to live all by yourself in an apartment or whatever. And we vet the tenants to like make sure they're cool people. And these guys and girls just end up having a really great time together. So it's really cool, man. That's my real estate play right now. We have a couple short-term rentals as well. Yeah, that's the gig.
And here's another quick story too. So Sam lives in a beautiful home, he and his wife, Rachel, and I've stayed there before. And
I got to go plug in my laptop, by the way, so I'm going to go grab my cord.
And so, I don't know, this is a few months ago. He's like, man, I bought another rental. And Rachel and I are going to move into the part of the rental that has a little kitchenette, and we're going to rent our house out. And you guys did that successfully, didn't you?
Dude, we did. We moved into a rental that we were remodeling.
Uh-huh.
We moved into a rental that we were remodeling and freaking moved into like a little 400 square foot space. And it was all in the name of renting out our personal house. We don't have any kids right now, so we're super mobile. And we love this idea of just like, we cut our expenses and we can live on less. The reason we did that though, is because we went to Europe, and in Europe, everybody drives smaller cars. They live in smaller houses. And the truth is they just live on less. They don't have the credit built society that, quite frankly, we're kind of seeing tumble right now, but they don't have that. They live more in cash, at least in some of the areas we went out to. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when we came back, we walked back into our 4,000 square foot house, just the two of us. And we're like, yeah, we don't need this. And so we moved into a 400 square foot house. We went from 4,000 to 400. And it was, I mean, it was a little tight, to be honest, but it was fun. And we'll never forget it. And just, you know, in America, we just live on so much, dude. And it's, which I'm fine with that. I don't have anything against, you know, living lavishly or living a great lifestyle. But at the same time, you know, you and I've had talks about just, there is something to living simply. I'll tell you, when I, 10 years ago, Adam, when I defined my mission statement, and if you're recruiting people to be the best version of themselves, then here's maybe a little pitch to recruit them to create a vision statement for their life if you haven't done it already. But we recruited people to, I built my mission statement probably 10, 15 years ago, and it was really simple. It was to live outrageously, like just do things that people, you know, that I wanted to do. It was to give generously, love unconditionally, and to inspire people to give, be, do, and have more than they ever thought possible in their lives.
Beautiful.
And so that mission statement has resonated with me for 15 years. But last year, I changed one thing. I went from live outrageously to live simply.
Mm.
Like just this idea of maybe having a little less debt, this idea of just living on a little less, this idea of maybe having, you know, taking some of the money that you would spend on yourself and being able to give it. Now I say that, and I am back in, for full transparency, we are back in the 4,000 square foot house, but we're thinking about getting roommates. We're thinking about renting out some rooms because we just freaking don't even use the bedrooms, you know?
Right.
Gary Vee's got a great philosophy on this. He's just like, guys, I heard him on one of his podcasts once. He was like, guys, why the frick do you need a 10,000 square foot house? Let's be really real. We live in three rooms. That's like that's all we do. We live in the kitchen. We go to the dining room or the living room. We go to our bedroom, like in the bathroom. We live in four freaking rooms.
Right.
So that's been a cool switch for me. It's just been like, whoo, how do I set my life up to live a little bit more simply?
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So again, for all of our listeners out there, I wanted you to hear that, right? You just heard Sam tell his story about creating his mission statement at 19. Let me tell you what I was doing at 19. I don't even know what the word mission statement was because I was playing tennis full on, and all I knew how to spell was either Wilson or the word pin because that was a tennis ball every single day. And then win. So that's incredible, man. Thanks for sharing
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's transition now. Let's go into your passion zone, your other passion zone, and that's martial arts, right? So you've been in the martial arts space since you were a kid, and then you developed up level, and you have an incredible story about how you developed that. Walk us through the martial arts transition from what you did as a kid to now where you are as the business owner.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Recruiting pitch for martial arts. I mean, martial arts really changed my life in a big way. My mom put me in martial arts. I'm one of eight children. I'm one of eight brothers and sisters. And my mom put me in martial arts and said, you are taking martial arts because on the window of the martial arts school, I saw the word self-control. And I was the kid that was I was all in or all out, I think. I just was like very passionate about stuff. And so I would break stuff. I would just bounce off the walls, all this, you know, pent up energy, and she'd send me outside all the time. And so, yeah, pretty much she said, I'm putting you in martial arts. So I go to martial arts. I said, I don't like it. She said, I paid for three lessons. You're going to three lessons. And that's, you know, we weren't raised with a ton of money. So it was like, hey, when we pay for something, we were very frugal. We were very wise with my parents taught me to be very wise with our money. And so, yeah, I would say that I got in martial arts. I ended up loving it. There was actually a little girl the first day. Adam, you're so good at this. I feel like, you know, you're good at just sticking out your hand and maybe a stranger in the elevator, or a stranger like, hey, what's up with you today? Or how are you guys? You have all those little ways you meet people. And I always tell this story to my staff because I was hating martial arts, sitting off in the corner and just like waiting for my class to begin because my mom would drop me off. And then this little girl, her name was Katie Crescent. And she walks over to me on my second class, sticks out her hand and just says, "Hi, welcome to the karate school. My name is Katie. What's your name?" And like, she was young and I was young, but just that simple act of like, "Hey, what's your name?" Like totally, totally changed my life. Right. And that's how, and anyway, she became a good friend. We trained martial arts together and I fell in love with her. I was like, this girl's cute. And she said hi to me. And so, yeah, years later, I sent her a message saying, "Thank you for meeting me, because you don't even know, but like you were an inspiration to me all that time." And so I think, I don't know, maybe to tie this into recruiting, I just feel like that's a big piece of it. It's just like, for us, it's just like sticking out your hand and saying hi and sometimes just meeting the people around us. Mm-hmm. But that was a big impact on my life. And then I grew up in the martial arts. I got my black belt. I had a couple of amazing mentors that took me under their wing and taught me business and taught me sales and taught me stuff. And I was really blessed and fortunate in that way. And so pretty much I ran a school. I recruited my brothers to take, I wasn't able to recruit the people older than me. For some reason, I only had influence on the younger ones in my family, but I was able to recruit several of them to do the martial arts with me. And I built a school. I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia. I built another school there. I started that school in a small hotel room. I was probably 19 years old. It was a 20 by 20 little hotel conference room. And I would like push pin my things to the wall, trying to make it look like a studio. I would put my uniforms for sale, out on the conference table that they would give me. And I paid like 40 bucks a night to rent it. I rented it for two nights a week. And that month I grossed $9,887. And I remember at the end of the month, I didn't even have to pay the hotel people. And I'm like 19 at this time, right? So I didn't even have to pay the hotel people until the month was over, right? I paid them like in arrears. So I remember calling out my friend and being like, screw those people who say you have to have money to make money. Because I just used my time and my talent. And all I had to do was buy a few uniforms. And look, I just made almost $10,000, in my first month. So for me, it was just like, these were the lessons and the successes of a young business person. So long story short, I like grow the school in Charlottesville. I put my brother in charge. I'm making like $40,000 a year, not having to do a thing because my brother's running the whole school. And so at this point, I think I've retired. I'm like, I'm making $1,000. Who cares? That's enough. Because I wasn't raised. Yeah, that was a lot, coming from a real small town. So all my journal entries were like, I've retired. I never have to work another day in my life. I'm successful. Excuse me. And then my mentor calls me up and is like, you're a spoiled brat. No, you haven't retired. Like, you have way more to do in the world. Like, shut up. So he's like, go to Charlotte, North Carolina, buy these seven schools that are failing. Long story short, I end up buying two of them. One miserably fails and the other one like is on the brink of failing. And so I go through the lowest time of my life. I get depressed. I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of like one of those things where you're really high, you think you're a huge, big, you think you're a big shot. And then all your staff members quit in one day because they just didn't like you or whatever. And this, they were part of an old organization and I was changing everything. They were like, they didn't like the changes. So I had to recruit my way out of that. And I just pulled every string I possibly could. Anybody I thought I had influence with, I pulled that string. I reached out to people in Virginia. I reached out to my siblings. I built a little team and we built one school. And then from there we kind of stabilized and I built six other schools. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. I think you mentioned I've got nine. I've actually got seven, I think, but I do lose track of them. And we just continue to build, and that's the plan. And there's always pivoting and adjusting. But I'm a big fan of what martial arts does for people's lives. I'm a big fan of how it brings families closer together, and I'm a big fan of how people build up their confidence and their discipline and how they just become leaders in the space. And martial arts is the vehicle. It is the bait that gets them in, kicking, punching, having fun, moving their bodies. But the truth is, Adam, it's about becoming a leader. It's about being bring this full circle. It's about being a black belt in life.
Yeah. So I want to go back to Katie for a second. Because that's the first time I've ever heard that story.
Yeah.
So there's I think it was a TED Talk. Don't hold me to that. However, I watched something. If you Google it right now, it's called A Lollipop Moment. And the lollipop moment story goes something like this. The guy that's in college and he's at, let's just call him an upperclassman, and he's in charge of meeting and greeting the new students that are coming in. And anyway, long story short, he's handing out lollipops to the guy, the boys and girls that are checking into college, and they're nervous, right? And he goes up to this one girl who's with us with her parents, and he hands a boy something like that. I forget how it goes. Hands the girl a lollipop, and nice. The boy in front of her turns around and says something like, "I would like one too." And they make eye contact, the boy, young boy, and this young girl that are going in, coming to be freshmen, and they hand that lollipop. And so anyway, the guy that's speaking at this TED Talk basically says that fast forward 15 years later, he gets a letter in the mail from that girl that those two people got married. And what an inspiration it was to receive a lollipop and meet her future husband. So Kate, was it Kate or Katie?
Katie
was your lollipop moment, man. Way to go.
That's so cool. It's so true, though, that there are these little moments in our lives where we make decisions, and sometimes they're totally unconscious, but we make these decisions, and then it absolutely 100% changes our destiny forever, you know?
thank the Lord for Katie. I mean, let's pause for, sure. for a second, right? Thanking her, because truly, so we have a vision here at I Love Recruiting to impact and recruit 100 million people. Think about how many people you have impacted simply because Katie reached out and said, hi.
Yeah, thousands, no exaggeration, tens of thousands. I mean, people that have come to our studios, people that have heard our content and been, so it's a beautiful thing, man. And we're just getting started.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I also heard you say two-thirds of the I Love Recruiting equation. I heard you say recruiting equals influence. I heard that. Way to go. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, now catch me up. Let's get real world here. We've got about we've got about 10 minutes. Okay. Catch me up with real world. How are you doing right now? And how has this unknown world that we're in right now impacted you? What's going on?
Yeah, and just to be clear, you're talking about coronavirus and the economy, right?
Right, the corona. I call it the unknown, right? Because again, it's unknown. It's
right.
It's changing every single day.
That's good.
And there's so many people, and I'll let you answer. And I'm not judging people here, right? Because this is some serious shit. I'm not judging. There's a lot of panic out there. Right. Yeah. And you and I can speak to this because we've talked about this all the time. There's a lot of panic out there. Right. And panic is it's an emotion, and it's also an action or a non-action. Right.
Yeah.
And so when we attach emotion to thoughts and then lack or action, it's fascinating what happens. Right. Yeah. It's really fascinating what happens. And I know how mentally strong you are. And I also know that you're also human. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have our ups and downs. I was texting a friend. I think I told you before we started the show that he's like, "How are you coping?" I was like, "Oh, I'm coping because I'm binge working out and I'm binge eating chips."
Right.
So let's go to Sam. So catch us up, man. What's going on? How you doing?
Corona. Yeah, it's so interesting. I would say I'm a numbers guy to a large extent, and so I keep playing out the numbers, right? Like even in China and even in Italy. I'm just like keeping an eye on the numbers, and I guess that's influencing how severe I think this is going to be. And I'm doing it based on like deaths. Like, I don't know, for me, I'm not afraid to talk about death. And you and I have had some really interesting, powerful conversations around death, just it being a reality. And quite frankly, how much death just wakes us up, recognizing that's happening to all of us, you know, eventually. And one day, every day is a day closer to the day that we die. Mm-hmm. So I think you and I and our spiritual. So anyway, that being said, like I haven't said there 73,000 people die every single day, just in the United States, every day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, where, and who knows, by the time this podcast is released, these numbers could be crazy different. We're at 400 deaths as it stands right now. Mostly people with underlying conditions, and obviously a life is a life, and it's beautiful. But I haven't been able to panic in the same way, just because of the numbers. I'm like, guys, like, you don't understand. Like, 22 people die every day just from suicide, 102 people die every day from car accidents just in the United States, mm-hmm. 3,200 people die every day from car accidents in the world. 3,200. Yet nobody thinks twice about getting in a car.
True. Yep.
So, and again, I'm not an expert, I'm not a scientist, and I know like 15 people of my friends right now would be like, you're stupid, you don't understand, this could be a big deal. And I don't want to negate that, because I think you're right, I think it could be a really big deal. Mm-hmm. But the numbers don't add up to me yet. But I think you're right in that people are more panicked and scared about the unknown.
Sure.
So that's kind of that. But I think every business owner at this current moment in the United States and quite frankly, even globally, is not so much worried about the coronavirus as we are about, the fear virus, right? The panic virus and their business. I mean, for full transparency, like all my schools are shut down right now. And I just got an announcement yesterday that my school in Virginia, I've got one school in Virginia, just closed all non-essential, like ordered the closing of all non-essential businesses for the next month. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. I mean, that's just right. Like, and I think maybe the unknown for me is like, well, I think best case scenario, we wake up and things get back to normal, but I don't think that's gonna, right? Like my thought is like, no, this is a bigger shift for the entire economy. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'm facing difficult decisions. We're cutting expenses. I haven't laid anybody off, but I think I got to. I mean, income's just literally plummeted. I don't know how I can continue to pay the staff.
Right. You know, I was listening to John Maxwell. He's got a great last couple of days. He's got one more today, I think, a Facebook Live event. And I heard him say that there was five comments he said about a crisis. And the one right now that is pretty out in front of all of us is crisis reveals what's inside of us, right? And he says it's like an orange, right? When you squeeze an orange, you're going to get some orange juice, right? When you get squeezed as a human in this space of crisis, like what's going to come out? Is it going to be fear? Is it going to be an action, right? He says, Maxwell said, you can't moan and lead at the same time. I thought, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay. So it goes back to, and again, without discounting everything that's going on in the world, Corona and the deaths that are happening. If we take our equation, we look at it backwards, right? Leadership equals influence equals recruiting, right? Mm. And you can't lead and moan at the same time, right? Mm. You can't influence someone by bitching and complaining. You can't do it. Because guess what? You're not going to recruit them to your message then.
Right.
Right. So we have to stay up and we have to adapt during these times. And that adapting is sometimes not fun.
Yeah, not fun. And I maybe on the same side as that, it's like there's also a level of just vulnerable, right? Like I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you I was nervous, you know, about what was going to happen in the next 3 months or next 4 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm not big on putting on fronts, so I have no problem telling my staff. Like I had a really direct conversation with my staff, like, hey, this could be, we don't know, but this could be the biggest reset we've ever had. This could be the biggest economic reset we've had since the 1930s. Like we've had little cycles. We've had 2008, we've had 1987. We've had these cycles, but this could be the big one. We really deleverage. We really reset. And I've just been, I've been doubling down on learning. I'm reading a book by Gary Keller called Shift. Is it Shift?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm loving that book. He's talking about how, what real estate agents do during tough times. I mean, it's just so valuable, so valuable. And, it's great. It's just, I'm excited. I think it's like fear and excitement, or sometimes my wife was telling me fear and excitement, same neurological process, just how you interpret that is the same. Your heart rate, races in both situations. There's your blood starts pumping more in both situations. It definitely tests all your systems, right? So it's putting strain on my relationship with my wife. It's putting strain on different areas. And, you do the best you can. And,
For sure.
Yeah.
Maxwell said something else that is kind of in alignment with that. He says, crisis is a distraction, right? And then he goes, you also have to think, though, that inside of that word distraction is the word traction, right? And it's the opposite. And when we pay attention to, if we pay attention to all of the distractions that's in this crisis, it's taking us off our path. Has our trajectory changed? Absolutely. Has our paradigm been shifted? Yeah. Absolutely. And in my opinion, it will be the leaders that show up authentically and real, with or without a plan, right? Because it's uncertain. We have uncertainty right now, right? There's nothing that we can actually say concrete. We know. So it's creating that ability mentally to create traction, to keep moving forward every single day. Heck, if you want to break it down every single hour, I put on my phone because of Ed Milet. It's like every hour, right? Every hour until 4 o'clock, it goes off and says, did you accomplish what you were supposed to? Mm. And what do you need to reset, right? Wow. Every hour so that I know that I'm gaining traction.
Yeah. Rachel and I sat down when we kind of knew this wasn't going to be once we realized this wasn't going to be a little 2-week thing, Rachel and I sat down and came up with, okay, during this time period, exactly, like, what do you want to look back at this time period and say you did? Mm. When you look back at this time period, who do you want to be? Or how do you want to see yourself, you know, as how do you wish you showed up during that time, looking back on it? And so we came up with a relationship plan to make sure we stay connected. We came up with a health, like a doubling down on our health plan. We came up with a eating healthy plan. We came up with a business plan, obviously. We came up with all these plans and just how to handle our certain situations. So I'm excited about seeing where it all goes. It's just the ride, you know. Yeah. You know, this is a little out there for a lot of people, but, and I know I've even expressed this to you, Adam, but I think it's a nice balance to the drivers that may be listening to this call, the striver drivers, the people that are just go-getters. Mm-hmm. And it's this, one of my spiritual mentors has this belief that we actually don't do. Mm. Like, we are being done. Meaning, like, we don't get up in the morning and think, I'm going to think all these thoughts today. No, the thoughts just come. Right? Like we didn't, or we don't get up in the morning and think, you know, this is exactly what's going to happen today. Like we have some influence, right? There's some level of influence that we think we have, but at some level we're here and we're in life. And if we died tomorrow, life would continue to go on and life, it just goes and it's a wave and we get to ride it. And I know that might be a little bit out there, but it has, to me, what it's done for me as someone who is a striver driver, who is a hard charger, what it's done for me is give me that balance of like, yeah, but not everything relies on me. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like if I look back at the most beautiful things in my life, my wife, the business that I'm in, the family that I'm part of, and the worst things in my life, I didn't freaking choose those. They were coincidences or lollipop moments, like you said, or things that just happened that you're like, I didn't tell that guy to bring me over a lollipop so I'd meet my future. Like you know that story you told. We're being done. Like life is happening to us to a large extent, and not that we don't have influence. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm just trying to say that there is a beauty and there is a perspective of just surrendering to the flow, and there's that guy who wrote a book. I can't think of the author's name right now, but the Surrender Experiment, where he just Michael said, Singer. You know, what was it?
Michael Singer.
Yeah. Michael Singer, who wrote the book, like the Surrender Experiment. I'm just like, at the end of the day, like we're surrendering to all these things that happen. We don't have a choice, right? You can fight it. You can. So yeah, we there's so much out of our control, and being in that wave of just riding that wave is a beautiful thing, and focusing on what we can control. Yeah, man.
Man, I tell you what, I could sit here clearly as we've done for years now and just have a conversation with you. I mean, you're the best, man. You truly are genuine, authentic. You are, like I started the show, someone that literally holds a space in my heart that will always have a place in my heart. Because you're a badass, man. And what was it? Remember, our Go Abundance book, right? We talk about being pallbearers for each other.
Hey, anyway, if you die from the coronavirus, I will
be my pallbearer. Huh?
that might have been an insensitive comment. I'm sorry if that was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we are sensitive to everything that's happening out there. So how can people find you? How can people come hear more of your message? Leadership? What can they do?
We're spending a lot of time. We're spending a lot of time right now investing in the YouTube platform, and we will be during this crisis and during this time. So Uplevel Martial Arts on YouTube, and then Black Belt in Life on YouTube.
Nice.
Check us out. I think I've got like one video, but we're going to post more.
Okay.
Now that's, we're getting that started. My wife and I decided that now was the time to start building our platform around becoming a Black Belt in Life. And so we're excited about that.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, beyond proud for you, beyond proud of you. Love you like a brother, and super, super proud that we got to have this time together, and grateful that we got to have this time together. And I know our listeners will truly take away a lot of this message, and I agree, we are being done, right? We definitely are being done. So everybody, this is Adam Roach and Sam Wiegert signing off from the I Love Recruiting podcast. And do not forget our equation, because boy, did we just hear it over the last 35 minutes here with Sam. Recruiting equals influence equals leadership. And if you want to put it the other way, I would suggest to do that right now, because leadership equals influence equals recruiting. Everybody take care, stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time.